if you've got a lot of things going on, then it means that people can leverage from one another in terms of exposure, in terms of talent. So what Catherine was just speaking about, of if you really want to be involved but you don't know how to run an event or that terrifies you, we can, with this platform, it means that you can be involved and the onus of running an event doesn't have to be on you. You can just be a science superstar.
And become a science superstar. You certainly can do that at the Sydney Science Festival. There are over 180 individual events and over 60 program partners. This is a serious deal and you definitely can get involved.
You're listening to the Physics Ed Podcast. For hundreds of ideas, free experiments and more, go to physicseducation.com.au. And now, here's your host, Ben Newsome.
Yes, welcome again to another Physics Ed podcast. Big week this week because we're hearing about the Sydney Science Festival, this massively growing event which since 2015 just keeps on getting bigger and bigger and better. And tell you what, you've got some homework if you're in the Sydney region. Seriously, write this down, April 13, it's not far away. Jump on sydneyscience.com.au/2018 because the submissions to be able to be involved in the Sydney Science Festival are about to close. But before you go ahead and press that submit button, today we get to hear from the two producers of the entire thing. First up is Catherine Polsk, who's the program producer from the Museum of Applied Arts and Sciences, and we've got Ellie Downing as well, who's the manager for science engagement and events at the Australian Museum. Seriously, this is a very, very fun event, and today you get to hear all about it.
This is the Physics Ed Podcast.
Hello.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm really stoked to be able to have a chat with you both because, hey, you've got the Sydney Science Festival coming up and it's a lot of fun. Okay, full disclosure, I've been involved before, but it is good fun and well worth people's time. But, hey, some people might have, you know, run into you too and run into the festival. Tell us a bit about it. I mean, it's kind of a bit hard. We're talking with both of you, so I'm just going to throw to you at random times. So, Ellie, I'm going to put you on the spot. What do you do? Why do you do it? What's all this festival about?
Oh, mate, those are three really big questions.
I know. I thought I'd put you on the spot properly, right?
It's really on the spot. What do I do? I'm manager of science engagement and events over at the Australian Museum. So we work with the education team here at the museum and do lots of fun activities around natural science and culture. And in terms of the Sydney Science Festival, we have the pleasure of being co-producers of the event with Museum of Applied Arts and Sciences. So I'm the coordinator of the museum's role for that. And then we also manage our own events that we run on site. I get to work with lots of excellent people outside of the industry, and it's one of those things where you run around a lot behind the scenes but don't get to see a lot. But you're always there smiling and a little bit sweaty from the manic nature that is running events.
Is that your world as well, Catherine?
Yeah, so similar to Ellie, I'm the Applied Science Program Producer at the Museum of Applied Arts and Sciences, so we do all kinds of science programming about technology, astronomy. We also work at the Sydney Observatory site, so astronomy is a big, big thing for us. And then I also work at the Powerhouse Museum, where we have exhibitions on health and medicine. Technology is really connecting STEAM to people's daily lives, is our museum's focus. So the Science Festival is a big part of what we do. The Science Festival has been around since 2015, so it's a fairly new initiative for Sydney. It happens every August during National Science Week. The 2018 dates are from August 7th through 19th. Right now the EOI website is up, so I'm just going to spruik it if you're interested in doing
an
event. Look at sydneyscience.com.au. And the festival really is a way to showcase the amazing science talent in Sydney. So we do a program of talks, exhibitions, events, tours, parties, all kinds of events across all disciplines of science. We work with our event presenters to put on events. So Museum of Applied Arts and Sciences and Australian Museum are the co-producers of the festival, but we work with over 60 other organizations who run their own events. Last year was a huge year. We had over 70,000 people come to the festival and I think over 13,000 students and learners. Is that right, Ellie?
Yeah, the Australian Museum was pretty big. We had over 7,000 kids on site at the museum, which was pretty hectic. And we ended up having to take over the Sydney Grammar next door and PCYC down the road. And cram children into every nook and cranny that we could find to get them to engage with science. But yeah, it's really
we also crammed a lot of scientists into the festival. So we worked with over 585 scientists and researchers on all the programs last year too. So I mean, that's a bit of an overview of what we do with the festival.
Just a quiet afternoon walk in the park to be able to put this all together. No big deal. It just does itself, right?
Yeah.
Right. And actually, that's the thing, like, as one of the presenters at one of these things, we only get to see a very minor sliver of a program. And I mean, obviously we're presenting out to audiences and whatnot, and we see yourselves running around frantically, and we know full well what it's like. You only got that one moment really to be able to make it all happen. There's all these months of preparation, and then it all happens. So I mean, when you start, I mean, just generally out of interest, I mean, when does the planning for such a festival such as this, I mean, you've got 180 individual events, that's not messing around, that's a proper festival, when does that planning start, Catherine?
It's really an all year gig for us. So we start planning the EOI as early as December and November. This year it opened in March, and then there's a lot of, you know, making contact with all of our partners and making sure they're ready to submit an event, kind of getting the festival program together over a long time and looking after the website and the design for the festival and a lot of these operational tasks. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of organization in the lead up to the festival, and then it's really exciting once the website is launched and you're just getting more media and publicity for the events and the festival. Then the festival is happening, and it is what you said, we're running around going to as many events as we can, and then, I mean, it doesn't end there for us. And it's a lot of evaluation and reporting and debriefing and kind of reassessing what kind of opportunities we can look for in the next year's festival. So it's kind of all year. Would you add anything to that, Ellie? Or what's it like for you guys?
I'm going to be controversial and say that it goes beyond a year, because knowing just even the past little while, even while you're running an event, you've already been thinking about next year's event while it's happening. And then, Sydney Science Festival, one of the incredible things about it is that it does really bring all of the science community of Sydney together, and we leverage the platform of National Science Week and the relationships that Inspiring Australia has as a founding partner of Sydney Science Festival, and we just use it to find all these connections and sort of build this network of science communicators, educators, researchers, enthusiasts, novices, curious-mindedly people. We just get them all together. And so even while you're running events, what you're doing is finding ways to make it even better for everyone next year. So one of the really beautiful things about the festival is that it's not solely focused on visitor experience. It's really for the people who are putting on events as well. It's really community-minded, community-focused. And for us, we've got several communities who are involved. It's people who attend the event. It's your peers who are running events. It's the higher-ups. And so hopefully we can get more pick up from a higher corporate level so that it can rise in prestige, and we're able to help support people far better in the future. And we can sort of, Australia has incredible research and incredible science educators who can compete internationally, but we're just trying to get that recognition on our home grounds. And this is one of the ways that is proven to be really successful. And as Catherine was saying, it just keeps growing in size and notoriety and people who are involved. And it's really fun.
Absolutely. I mean, like, you've got, you know, you've got the big international speakers and, you know, some serious heavy hitter partners. But at the same point, I mean, I love the fact that you mentioned it's also about people who aren't, you know, formally a PhD or involved in science education. I mean, volunteers can get involved. I mean, what are some of the events that someone off the street can get involved with and literally just help out to be able to make such a festival happen?
Oh, there's so many things people can do. So as I said, there's really big community involvement, and it's really fun, but it's also the other way of people give so much of their time and so much in kind to make this event happen. And there's a lot of work that Catherine and I at both the Museum of Applied Arts and Sciences and the Australian Museum do, but there's also a lot of work that happens within the community that I'm sure we don't see in terms of people sharing. So number one, if you can talk about it, We'd love you to gossip about us and share all the great feelings about Sydney Science Festival. But then in terms of volunteering, so because it's often run by people in addition to their usual jobs, so helping people with ticketing, just helping people running things on the night. You might be running around doing fun things like evaluations. Here at the Australian Museum, we get people and they get to escort school groups all day because school students are worse than headless chickens. They just... they have conscious brain and so they go hiding as well. Yes. so they get to shadow those guys and sort of see all of the incredible stuff that happens here. At other events, you might get taught how to run an interaction. And so you can actually be running science engagement with people. If it's something like a scientist speed dating evening, then you might be helping facilitate conversations. If it's a podcast evening or things like that, you might be participating in helping people get conversations started. If it's a trivia night, you might just be answering questions. The way that you engage is really varied, and it's one of the really great things is that there's no one way that's prescribed to engage with science, and this festival really showcases that.
Well, I actually want to drill down on one of those things, just for the sake of, and some people may have heard of it before. I've seen it happen, but it's quite funny just hearing the title. Scientist speed dating. Let's throw it to Catherine.
Meet a scientist.
Meet a scientist. And what do you get to like you get 5 minutes to hear their thing? Like what happens in a speed dating scientist?
So that's the program we've run a few years now where we have a panel of scientists, so people who work for government, CSIRO, they might work for different universities. I think we've had involvement from Australian Museum scientists before, kind of a broad spectrum of scientists. And you can, it's dating, but it's not romantic.
It's romantic with the
knowledge. Down with each one.
For the love of science.
For the love of science. And just have these really short but inspired conversations with scientists. And we've done it at different launch events, so big parties, or we've had standalone speed meets. And it's just been really amazing when you give people that permission to sit down and talk to each other, like how open everyone is. And the scientists, it's really exciting for them because they get to see that really excited interest in that work that they might not have access to every day. The challenge of communicating their work to really diverse audiences. It's a bit of like a science com marathon boot camp, I guess, too. And then for the audiences, you know, a lot of people, you know, some people have scientists in their life or they know scientists, but for a lot of people, it's kind of this abstract role in getting that one-on-one contact with experts can be really inspiring and motivating, and just give people a little more information about the work scientists are doing in the community and really for society. So the speed meets are a popular event, and just with about just a little more about getting involved in the festival, so and what to expect next year. So we are in our expression of interest submission, so everyone is submitting their ideas for events, and these come from, you know, big organizations. We work with the City of Sydney. We work with the Royal Botanic Gardens. We also work with smaller organizations, and individuals can also submit events. So if you have an idea for an event, please go to the website and let us know. And there's also opportunity to get involved with bigger events. So if you're a scientist and you'd like to participate in a speed meet or you have an activation idea for a larger family event, you can submit those ideas too. And our role is also to connect you with people and with events that you might be able to collaborate with. So there's really a lot of different ways to get involved. And if you wanted to kind of see the spectrum of events that we do, you can view last year's website by going to sydneyscience.com.au/2017. So you can kind of see more of what we're about and what we've done in the past.
That's it. And go to /2018 if you want to submit a new event, which means
we'll link the website somewhere, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We'll absolutely. I mean, why not?
Right.
And you can't do 2019.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. 2019. Stay tuned for 2019.
Well, absolutely. I mean, the thing is, I mean, this particular program, I'm not hearing it's going to go away. It's one of those things that's got momentum now. And the thing is, prior to 2015, there were plenty of things happening around National Science Week throughout Sydney and surrounds, like without a doubt. The whole point of this was to stitch it all together, right?
Yeah, I think
everything's been happening for a really long time, but it's kind of been fractured, and there's a real strength. So credit to Inspiring Australia, who really encouraged and supported the sort of unionisation of this all, in the sense that if you've got a lot of things going on, then it means that people can leverage from one another in terms of exposure, in terms of talent. So what Catherine was just speaking about, of if you really want to be involved but you don't know how to run an event or that terrifies you, we can, with this platform, it means that you can be involved and the onus of running an event doesn't have to be on you. You can just be a science superstar. Alternatively, if you want to run events and you want to really facilitate that engagement but you don't feel confident enough to present, we can hook you up with people. And then that is sort of packaged together in a really easy to digest information packet for media, so it's easier for us to pick up stories and sort of get word out there and get new audiences and new people involved, and sort of really break the stigma that can often be attached to science as being elitist or not for everyone, or, you know, people are afraid to get involved because they're not very confident, or there's a fear that they might get embarrassed. And this is really a way that we can start breaking that down, and it's more about having a conversation about science and getting people comfortable with the idea.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, mind you, the media does get behind you on this. I mean, I can't remember how many times you got mentioned last year. I mean, you'd have that stat somewhere in one of your reports, without a doubt.
I have those numbers.
You got those numbers?
Got a tattooed on my forearm.
That's right.
I don't have them in front of me.
Proper commitment we're asking for, nonetheless.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, that's exactly
what it is. It's by submitting events in the festival, you benefit from being part of this cohesive marketing campaign. And if you're a smaller event, you have a professional website that you're part of. So there's a lot a lot we can offer you in terms of media and publicity and just getting kind of amplifying the impact of your event through the festival website and program.
We've also found that one of the informal things that we kind of suspected was happening, but we're yet to get formal feedback on, is, but because everyone's sort of networked and all of a sudden you're more aware of what's going on, you sort of can then bounce ideas off everyone. And so the overall quality of science education and communication within the Sydney region is increasing because we're all working together and we can see what's out there. We can see where the gaps are all of a sudden, because rather than looking at a square millimeter of the map, you get the whole region. And so we can see what the sort of topics are, what the discussions are, how the conversation is evolving. If there are geographical areas that, you know, there might not be a lot of engagement happening, then we can sort of work out how we can make it a citywide event and support people in those areas. And that's the real benefit, is that there's a lot of informal professional development that happens for the people that are involved as well. And it's all about that peer-to-peer learning for us and the support of that community, as well as running really, really fun events.
Absolutely. I mean, it's one giant conference plus the public's involved, which is just wicked.
Yeah. All the best bits.
Yeah, there is all the best bits. And like any good festival, it doesn't stop after the actual formal lessons either, I can tell you that. And that kind of makes me wonder, like, what is happening in terms of, where do you think this will go? I mean, there's some massive festivals around the world. I can think of the Edinburgh Science Festival. I can think of the Abu Dhabi one as well. Where could you see the Sydney Science Festival starting to be placed? Ellie?
I think we're definitely up there in terms of quality, and we're definitely able to compete with people on an international scale. But I think the thing that's really nice about this is that even though we're that high quality, the focus is on local. So we do get international speakers, and we're able to attract huge names. But the one thing that we have is that we are sort of that, just really nice. Like, they're people that you can talk to and you can catch up with them. And there's an approachability to it because it does have a huge percentage of local contributors. And so you do get these science superstars that you get to see, and they're incredibly inspiring. And then you also get to see people who are on the same stage and they're just as high caliber, but you can also run into them down at the pub or see them at your school, or, you know, you run into them on the weekends at the local supermarket. And it's just this next level sense of accessibility because it's familiar, it's people in your own town, and it just is the best, pretty much.
Yeah, I think the focus on Sydney is really what the festival is all about, but bringing international talent to Sydney is a huge part of that, in addition to showcasing Sydney talent. I guess for us, we're always looking to, you know, kind of identify areas that don't have the same level of science engagement. Like, there's a ton of events that we have in inner Sydney and the inner suburbs, but we see there's a lot of potential to grow it more in Western Sydney and North Sydney. So I guess for us, our goal would be just to have opportunities for everyone to engage with the festival kind of in their local hangouts and hubs. Taking over the world, I guess, will be a future goal for the festival.
Always.
The Southern Hemisphere. And then we'll take it.
They're engaging with new audiences, making sure we have good called representation, Indigenous science, and kind of making sure that we're in a position to showcase some of those hidden science stories that don't have the same outreach, maybe.
Yeah. I love the hidden science stories. I really like the idea that every now and then you'll see something on Twitter or something coming through Science Alert or whatever, and you go, really? That's real? That's a thing? And then the best part of these festivals is that you see that there's some of the standard shtick with liquid nitrogen and whatnot, which is perfectly fine. But having those real wow moments, they don't have to be about the big and the wow and the explosive stuff. Sometimes it can be about the very small and unnoticed, but when you actually look at it deeply, you go, wow, that's really a thing. And that's the beauty about it, which is great.
Yeah, definitely.
So if you
that type of stuff that's more relatable as well. So, you know, liquid nitrogen is super duper cool, but they never let you get your hands on it unless you've got the proper training.
That's right.
Whereas like a lot of the smaller stuff, so with natural sciences and with astronomy and things like that, you can do it. You can go out and you can have a look and you can understand what's going on.
And absolutely. And actually, I want to put a bit of a shout out to Jackie Randall. I think it was back on episode 5
yeah.
and we had a chat with her with what Inspiring Australia actually does in helping not only just with the festival side of things, but also on citizen science, because you don't
have
in the window of August or whatever window it is that you happen to be in your local area of whatever they say this is National Science Week. It's, funnily enough, science is a 365-day affair. You can definitely type in citizen science into your favorite search engine and you'll find stuff. I guarantee it. And you're fancy, which is really, really cool. And actually, just out of interest, I mean, if you had to, I don't know, put someone under your wing and say, hey, let's see if we can get your city, your region, your state, whatever it is, to start the first steps towards creating a genuine festival that engages public, what were the sort of things that you might suggest that might, you know, get them on their way?
I think having a network and relationship with the scientists in your community or the science organizations would be really essential and crucial. I guess from the museum perspective, we benefit from being parts of these big, well-oiled machines where we have our comms department already, we have a design department, we have web developers, so we kind of benefit from being able to do a lot of that work in-house. But maybe, bringing together a team with all diverse skills, knowing who your audience is, and then I think, start small in the scale that you can work on and then build that every year. If you're in Australia, there's potential to get funding from Inspiring Australia for different science events. What would you add, Ellie?
I think you hit the nail on the head when you're talking about the scalability of it all. So I think with this type of stuff and with running events, it can be really easy to go bigger than Ben Hur because there's so many great ways that you can engage people and like when you do good engagement, it's kind of like a drug. You just want to do it again because it's so amazing to watch. And like when you've been able to have the privilege of facilitating like what somebody getting it or like somebody who, you know, traditionally hasn't been engaged with science, and then all of a sudden they feel really good about themselves in the context of science learning. Like, it's amazing. But I think with this type of stuff, you've really got to focus on quality. So making sure that it's something that you can manage, that it's far better to do a small thing really, really well than to go bigger and sort of disappoint yourself in terms of the level of engagement and the quality. And I think also the focus on networks. So think about, have a look and see what's out there. So you mentioned citizen science before, and I put on a cheeky other hat of on the Australian Citizen Science Association Management Committee. And there's lots of associations that exist that try and actively network people together. So for citizen science, we exist just to introduce other projects to each other and to find ways to better support it. And it's the same for science communication and lots of things like that. So find those networks and hook in and see what's out there, see what's going on, see if there's a way where you can band a few people together, as Catherine was saying, and create that diverse skill set. So you might be really good at comms, somebody else might, you know, have a mate who's a designer, somebody else might know how to run events, and somebody else might know how to code the website. And just think about it as little nuggets that you can achieve, and it might not be something that you get done this year, but you know, you've built it in, and it's something you're going to do next year. And just that really scalability of it all, I think, is really good.
Absolutely. And
And evaluate.
Oh, evaluate.
Evaluate. Oh, my gosh. Whew. I mean, I missed that one.
Well, evaluation is key, because it's not just about, hey, here's my report, because I did my homework now. It's more about did you do what you said you were going to do from a science point of view, all the way through to, you know, did the people who spent their funds get value for money? It's a big deal.
It's also that thing of like, you can talk about how great you are until the sun goes down.
Oh, we're good at that.
I'm really good at it. But to have that proof of like, you know, it's not just us. Here's what other people have said. And it's also, it's a way to capture stuff that is happening but isn't happening on the surface. So you can track all of these attitudinal changes, and you can track that people feel better about science, and you can show the huge impact that you're having. So, people might have learned something really cool about butterflies or spiders or the universe and the existential crisis that comes with understanding the universe. But they're also, all of a sudden, they might have learnt a new word, and so they're actually becoming more literate in, and they're able to have conversations about science. And that's got a huge roll-on effect. Like, it's showing the impact of your event beyond your event run times. And then with that, you sort of build up momentum and you build a case to say, like, hey, this needs to happen regularly. Or, you know, if you get involved and if you help me out in running these things, these are the benefits that you get. And it proves the value of this, which I think is something we're getting better at as a community, but it's still a really big fight that we have to have all the time, is proving the value of this and proving that it's not only about communicating research. There's huge societal benefits as well, and it's really, really important to do.
That's it. And it's not just about the numbers of people on seats. It's what did they do in the first place, which is very important.
Yeah.
And what did they go home with?
If they're grumpy on a seat, we don't want them.
Yeah, absolutely. That'd be terrible. We have 70,000 really annoyed people now. Yay. Yeah, you don't want that now.
That's great though, right?
Yeah. But I mean, I know that doesn't happen at the Science Festival. I mean, I've been able to attend all those events, and it really is a vibrant community that is clearly flourishing. And you know, I suppose just thinking, listening back to some of the bits of advice and all those 100% goals, you know, you got to do that when you're putting these events together. Perhaps something that can be helpful too, if you're thinking about putting your events together, is think just the simple logistics. Where are the buses going to go?
Oh my gosh.
How far do the schools have to walk? What's the venue like? What's the lighting like? Oh, by the way, there are fire alarms. All that stuff matters to be able to run a successful event as well. So it's not a short undertaking, and hence you're saying that it takes over a year to plan.
There's lots of fun event logistics. I think one of the things they're doing this year is sort of trying to create that checklist for people who haven't run events before. So, you know, how do you do queue management? Have you thought about if it's a split level thing, how does flow work through it? So just like really, really basic stuff, which you know, Catherine and I through working at the major institutions that run big events, we know sort of second nature. And one of the things we discovered last year was that a lot of the skill sets and knowledge that we take for granted are really useful to other people. So we're actively trying to pour our heads onto paper so that we can share this with everyone.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, thank you very much for coming on the podcast. I mean, I know that, hey, especially taking half an hour out of your time when the submission dates aren't that far away. So actually, we should actually do a podcast. We're not kidding. Like, if you want to get involved in this, you need to be putting in your stuff now. So what is the critical date when the gates shut?
April 13th. So next Friday.
like now. All right. So, you know, hopefully you've gotten out there. We're putting out this very fast so you get a chance to be able to hear this and submit. And it doesn't have to be like this massive, bigger than Ben Hur thing. Just think what the community do in the room that you might be able to access and at what time frame and blah, 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 all that type of stuff. Keep it simple, but keep it deep and meaningful. D&M, if you can do it. So, look, thank you very much. And I'm going to leave you back to your planning because no doubt your phones are probably going to start ringing for other stuff really soon.
Thanks so much. Great to have
thank
this
you
chat.
So
and yeah, we'd love to hear from anyone who has questions.
Yeah, come talk to us.
We hope you've been enjoying the Physics Ed podcast. We love making science make sense. Why don't you book us for a science show or workshop in your school? If you're outside of Australia, you can connect with us via a virtual excursion. See our website for more.
And there we go. We just heard from Catherine Polsk and Ellie Downing, who are the program producers for the Sydney Science Festival. Seriously, I know I'm a little bit biased because, hey, I'm in Sydney too, but it's well worth your time. If you happen to be in Sydney during August this year, come on down. Really, there's so many events, 180 of them. It's well worth your time to go check out stuff, everything from Science in the Pub through the Science in Town Hall, all sorts of science shows and meet a scientist, all that stuff. It's great to do. It really is. And if you want to get involved, I wasn't kidding, jump on sydneyscience.com.au/2018 and press the submit button before April 13 with your own event. It would be well worth your time. And during that chat with Ellie and Catherine, we talked a little bit about citizen science. It's the idea that, yes, you can be doing science even if you're not in a university or a research lab somewhere. You totally can be doing it anywhere around the place. And so, really, a few episodes ago, way back in episode 5 of this podcast, I got to speak with Jackie Randalls, who's the New South Wales manager for Inspiring Australia. And we got to talk about citizen science and why it's so important.
You can find a citizen science project that meets your interest. So Red Map, for instance, is one all about fishing. So if you happen to love fishing or if you do anything on the water, that's probably going to be the one for you. And that one is simply if you see an unusual species that you don't normally see, you might see an unusual fish or you might see a whale that's moving up towards Queensland too early. Take a picture of it, upload it to the Red Map platform, and marine scientists from around Australia will analyse it, and you're helping identify movements of species.
It's definitely worth checking out different ways to be able to do citizen science in your local community, in your backyard even. You just need some form of a device to be able to submit that data that you measure. There are so many different things you can be doing. You can be doing bird monitoring surveys, you can be exploring the seafloor, stream watch, you can be looking at Feather Map, Galaxy Explorer, Wildlife Spotter. You name it, there's all these different ways, and I guarantee that somewhere in your local community or around the nation that you hang around in, there would be a way that you'd be able to contribute. It's well worth your time. And look, in regards to what we're talking about during this podcast, if you don't have a science festival around the place in your area, maybe it's worth seeing if you can pull together a mini festival in your local school or community. It's just a matter of getting some like minds together, maybe finding some funding, or if not, run some sort of fundraising drive to be able to make it happen and start small and build from there. It's well worth your time. Anyway, I hope you make that vibrant, and if you're already running one, make it even more engaging. Make as many things and layers as possible. Everyone will love it and you'll have fun doing it in the meantime as well. Anyway, you've been listening to me, Ben Newsom from Phys Education, and you've been listening to the Phys Ed podcast. I will catch you next week.
You've been listening to another Physics Ed podcast. We're excited about science. Subscribe to us on iTunes to download the next episode as soon as it's released. And don't forget, for hundreds of ideas, free experiments, our new Be Amazing book and more, go to physicseducation.com.au. That's physics spelled F-I-Z-Z-I-C-S.
This podcast is part of the Australian Educators Online Network. AEON.net.au